Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Welcome to Hour 2. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour discussion with Dudley Rutherford. We talked about the Battle of Jericho and your Battle of Jericho, how you can see those walls come tumbling down. That was a power hour. So if you've got your own battle right now, you want to see a breakthrough, you might want to go back and catch the podcast. It'll be up in a little bit. Go to our website, myfaithradio.com. So second hour here, we're switching gears. We're having my good buddy, Dr. Greg Smalley, on. We get him on a couple times a month at least. This time we're going to address the whole challenging family dynamics around the holiday season. And we also want you to get your calls ready, because if you've got some special holiday traditions or maybe even a Christmas catastrophe that you want to share with us, we want to hear from you. I'm going to give you that number because I want you to get those stories and even traditions ready to call in. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We'll get Greg on in a moment, but first, you've been hearing about this a lot, and it's just really important to us. Faith Radio is partnering this year again with Angel Tree Ministries to bring the gospel to children who have parents in prison. And only $84 will help us reach six kids. $84 will help us reach six kids with a Christmas gift, with the gospel, and a message from their incarcerated parents. So we would love to have you help us meet our goal of reaching 1,000 kids this year. We're almost there. We just got a little bit of time left. Information is on our website, myfaithradio.com. So real quick, let's just listen in to a story from someone who was touched by this ministry.
The most passionate Angel Tree volunteers are those who have themselves been rescued. Do you know what it's like to absolutely hit bottom? Antonio remembers.
When I was incarcerated, my children felt like daddy left them. Daddy didn't care about them. They were left back with their mom struggling because I cared more about drugs than I did about them.
Back home, Alicia wanted and expected nothing from Antonio. This was his fourth time back in prison, and she thought no power on earth could save him.
If you'd have known him 10 years ago, you wouldn't want to be in the same room with him. He was a very scary person. He was very violent and very selfish. And when God broke him, he broke him.
God visited Stateville cell T-235.
God came when I was in prison in Stateville in cell T-235. Is the first time that I met Jesus Christ. As soon as I got a taste of Jesus, that sweet, sweet taste of Jesus, is when I began just trying to serve the Lord. It's not about me at all anymore. It's about Jesus. It's about my wife. It's about my children.
Antonio and Alicia know desperation, but they also know restoration. Their pastor asked them to head up Angel Tree for their church. That first year, they stretched their resources and decided their little church in the middle of a crime-ridden, drug-infested neighborhood could reach out to 10 children.
We asked for 10 children's names, and we got them. And I was just curious at how many more children there were that weren't taken. And I was told that there were 75 other children that were on the list for Angel Tree, and no church had taken them.
We can celebrate 10 children being remembered, but we can't ignore 75 children denied. For Antonio, it was especially troubling. He knows what Angel Tree means to an incarcerated parent.
That's a very big thing in prison, to be able to fill out the application in hopes that some kind person, they're going to give from their heart. And that gift is not coming from them. It's addressed with my name on it. And Angel Tree is a worthy cause.
Will you partner with Alicia and Antonio in this worthy cause? Can you help bring Christmas and the sweet love of Jesus to one or two Angel Tree kids?
What a powerful ministry. And Jesus does tell us to remember those in prison. And I think it's just a worthy cause to remember the children who have parents in prison. If you need more information on Angel Tree, we're on the countdown. We just got about a week left, if that. So go to myfaithradio.com. Okay, even though this man needs no introduction, I'm going to give him a formal introduction. He deserves it. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. He's the author of 11 books, probably more by now, but including The DNA of Relationships, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, and The Wholehearted Marriage. He and his wife, Erin, live in Colorado with their three daughters, Taylor, Murphy, and Annie, and their son, Garrison. You can find his influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Smalley, welcome back to the show.
It is great to be with you. I think I've written now 16, but don't feel bad.
16.
You know, 16.
We're making note of
it
right now.
Really?
Really. I mean, you read one of your books, you've read them all. No, I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding. I will say that your Wholehearted Marriage book is one of the best marriage books I've ever read. So you've got some good books. Sorry about that, having that number off a little bit.
You're like my sister. This is what my sister and I do when we get together. It's just who can out slam the other. I love it. Makes me feel loved.
I wish y'all could see him because he has a beard now. He looks like he's been with the Lord. It's very silvery. It's wonderful.
I'm moonlighting as Santa.
Are you?
In the evening. So.
Well, it looks great. I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, sir. So we start out talking scripture. Is there a verse you have for us today?
You know, I was thinking about what we're going to talk about in terms of surviving the holidays with extended family. And Romans 12, 17 and 18 came to mind. That says that repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. And I love that verse because, one, it's really encouraging us to honor others. And I think that's if we're going to survive any sort of extended family gathering, I think that's a great mindset to have. And we'll talk more about that later, I'm sure. But this idea of honor, but then also the whole rest of it is about personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as it depends on me, live, you know, if it at all possible, live, you know, peacefully with others. And so I like that honor. And then how do we kind of take responsibility for our choices and how we choose to show up and how we choose to interact with others? I think it's a great verse, thinking about family.
And in such tangible direction. What I love about the word is that it is just such a plumb line for any question, every problem we have. And, you know, you get to choose from week to week when you come on the show just what's on your heart. And I love this topic, Greg, of just kind of interesting family dynamics when we approach the holidays. And so this verse you chose really does tie into just wisdom for how to show up in these events. Maybe make that connection for us.
Well, you know, when we show up at family gatherings, I think some of the challenges might be, you know, past memories of difficult experiences or times that haven't gone so great, things that were said, things maybe that didn't happen that we wanted to happen. So there's a lot of past memories that just come flooding. And it's easy to walk in on guard. It's easy to walk in frustrated. It's easy to walk into a family gathering with a lot of negative beliefs and frustrations and anger and hurts and wounds and all of those things. And that's why I love that verse. It's telling us, first and foremost, we need to honor others. We need to show up, in other words, seeing how valuable each of our family members. You know, we didn't get to choose our family. You know, the beauty about friendships that we get to join with like-minded people, maybe like-minded values or thoughts or political issues or whatever. I mean, we choose who we want to hang out with as far as a friend goes. We didn't get to choose our family. But you know what? It doesn't matter because our family members are still incredibly valuable because God says they are. He says that they're made in His image. He says that our family is His treasured possessions. You know, I mean, they are very, very valuable. And sometimes we start off any sort of family gathering already almost in the negative, already with a lot of just baggage attached. And it's so easy to lose sight. Oh, you mean Uncle Bob's going to be over this? Oh, or I've got to spend time with this family member. It's so easy to fall into that. And I think what Romans is telling us is that give thought to do what is honorable. In other words, how do I want to show up? And how do I put value and honor than into action. And I think that's the key.
It kind of
we can't change them.
Exactly.
They're gonna keep doing all the nutty crazy stuff. Mm. Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not your family.
I know we're talking about your family mostly. Yeah, so.
Seriously, totally you kidding. Have no idea.
No, I'm really kidding. But it reminds
me. Oh, Dr. Gary Smalley, he's crazy. When we're all together.
I would love to be a fly on the wall. Actually, I have been a fly on the wall, and it's a fun,
I was gonna say, you've
a fun
been
place
there.
To be. But, you know, the idea we you talk about often around marriage, when you respond the same way and you expect different results, that's insanity. But when you put a different spin on the ball, it does change the dynamic of the relationship because it puts them in a position to have to respond differently. And so when you think about and when you counsel people, are there some common hang-ups showing up for especially holiday gatherings when you're talking about families because of that grid, because they're thinking, I already have this issue with them, I already think this about them, that they could do differently?
The one that I'd noticed that seriously, I've really have to think about this what I've noticed is that when it comes to spending time with family or even now with my oldest daughter, Taylor, being gone to college, having her come back, I think what happens for a lot of people is that we package a lot of our expectations around the holidays. We count on these holidays and these time with families maybe to make up for the rest of the year. We want these gatherings to be perfect. We want everything to happen just right so we can finally have that certain level of connection. I remember one time last summer, we went to Green Lake, which is in Wisconsin, I think the kind of southeastern part. Anyway, we were going to this family camp. All my kids, everybody, we were all going to be together. And it's just been a very busy season for us. And so we show up. Susie, I never realized how many expectations that I was carrying into this, that if this was going to make up for the busyness, that this was going to make up for all the travel that we've been doing or whatever. And so we get there so we wake up that first morning. So this is it. Now we get to finally hang out as family, and we're going to have some fun and do all these things that I conjured up in my mind. And as we're walking to breakfast, Murphy, our 17-year-old, she goes, something happened. She starts bickering with her brother, and she goes, I'm tired of this family. She goes, I'm out of here. And she leaves. Like, that was it. This is the first morning. We just woke up. And I got so mad at her. Like, I really got mad at her. And I'm yelling at her and she's yelling at me and we're now supposed to go and speak, Aaron and I. This is like the first session. And I'm saying, Aaron, I ain't speaking. This is family camp and our family won't even be together and we're phonies and you go up there. And so I'm just getting my arms crossed like in the corner. Mm-hmm. And you know, Aaron, who's, you know, like the wisest person I know. She's like Morpheus from, you know, whatever that movie was. Anyway, she comes over to me. She goes, you know, she goes, hey, I love you. I've got your back. But she's like, what is going on? That was a huge reaction to what Murphy was doing. And I'm, of course, defending and going, you don't understand. And la, la, la. And as we talked, I all of a sudden it just hit me. I was like, you know what? I get it. I had so many expectations of how this was going to act and how everyone would act and how this would unfold and the togetherness. And I saw that dream fading very quickly the first morning. And so it was really good. I mean, I think I instantly got it. And that was, that was my issue. And I think that's the point, is that just be aware of what is it that I'm hoping will happen. What am I expecting? If I'm expecting some miracle or maybe some reconciliation or some level of connection, interaction, we need to be aware of those. Because I think that's what it's saying, if at all possible, as far as it depends on you. I think that's where the personal responsibility piece comes up.
Indeed. And when we come back, I want to talk about expectations versus expectancy, because my mentor always says expectations are premeditated disappointment, because you haven't made up in your mind how something is supposed to go, and it can only go that way. Otherwise, you'll be disappointed. And
well,
it's almost like shaking.
She would have helped me.
Yeah, she would have. But
it
is.
Thanks a lot.
It is like shaking up pop, isn't it? I mean, because it's like the response boils beneath the surface. And we've got lots to talk about. Want to hear from you, though. If you've got a favorite Christmas tradition, give us a call, 877-933-2484. I'm sure we'll have one of Greg's 16 books to give away. 877-933-2484. More with Dr. Greg Smalley in just a moment. your eyes and you will see it. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I have my good friend Dr. Greg Smalley on with us today. And we're talking about relationship dynamics as we approach the holiday season. And you were talking before the break about expectations. And I always appreciate your honesty, Greg, because we all go there. We all have those kinds of things. But there's always good lessons when you kind of put your story out there and we can kind of look at it a little bit. And as I mentioned, I learned such a great lesson from my mentor years ago, and I've brought it up on the show a few times because I think it's a light bulb moment so often, is the difference between expectations and expectancy. And she says expectations are like a predetermined disappointment because we kind of frame this is how it's supposed to go. And if it doesn't, I'm going to be mad, you know. But the flip side is if there's no expectancy, you just sort of set yourself up for a low level of misery. She said expectancy is engaging your faith, saying God's going to show up somehow, some way, and I'm going to look for him, but it's a mystery. But then you have this delightful surprise when he does show up because your hands are open. I think those are two such different things. And love for you just even to speak to that idea, because if we show up with these either expectations or even an expectation to be disappointed because we're already irritated by our family members, there's no room for expectancy. Does that make sense?
It does completely. I love it. I'm taking it. Thank you. That's book 17. So yes. Appreciate it. Well, I think that's what the expectancy part is, what Romans 12, 17, and 18, as we talked about in the beginning of the show, is really getting at. And I think it's that part that says, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. There's a way in which that if I have such negative beliefs walking into a family gathering, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whatever I believe about my family members, see, that's the evidence that I'm going to collect the whole time I'm there. I'm going to notice. I'm going to look for. I'm going to expect the worst out of someone. And they can't do anything about that. They could do most of it right and good and honorable. And then I'm going to pick out and notice the stuff that frustrates me, that the one hurtful comment out of all the hundreds of comments that they make. So I like the expectancy part. The expectancy part means that we need to look for the best. We need to expect the best. We need to actively notice what people are doing that we appreciate. I mean, I think that's a part of honoring someone versus, to your point, Susie, the expectations that we might have that we assume will take place, need to take place, hope will happen. And if it doesn't happen, like when I was at family camp, then we just blow a gasket or we totally shut down. And when in Matthew, as it talks about in Matthew 7:5, where I love it when the Bible like calls you names, It says you hypocrite. That's beautiful. I mean, I love it. You know, first take the log out of your own eye. And that's, Aaron didn't say it that way that day at family camp, but that's what she meant, going, Greg, you know, yeah, was it right what Murphy did? Well, of course not. I mean, that was wrong. But your reaction, the way that just how you exploded, that's showing that something was going on for you. And remember, as far as it depends on me, if at all possible. So see, that was a place that I could look to go, yeah, what is my expectation? I think I realized that I really was longing for this special kind of family connection to make up for all the hard times, busyness that we had been through. Even lately, Susie, our oldest daughter, Taylor, just came back from college. So within the past couple of days, we finally have her. And I love that. I mean, I've been... You know, you've had to get used to this, but just having one of my kids out of my home, I love them and I have so much fun with them. It's hard. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. I'd much rather her be home, but yet I'm so excited for what she's doing. But having her come home again in my mind, thinking, oh, think of the games that we'll play and the Christmas movies that we'll watch and the outings that we'll go on. And like last night, I couldn't wait to come home. We were going to do something to find out that she's all the way up in Denver hanging out with one of her friends. It's what's important is that to have the expectancy that Taylor and I are going to just have some special time. This is a good thing because then hopefully I'll help make that happen. But if my expectation is we're going to have all these certain kinds of activities and the net effect is going to be this level of intimacy and connection and family togetherness, I think that's where we can get off. So that's why I say that once, as you're preparing for an extended family time, you know, take a moment and just really think about what are my expectations. That's a great, if you have a spouse or a good friend, talk about that and just verbalize them. And then you can adjust them just by praying, saying, God, what's the balance look like here. Because you're right, there is a balance between the expectancy and the expectation.
So how does a person identify if their expectations and ideas even for the holiday are unrealistic? How would they do that? First thought that comes to me is write them down. Because I think maybe seeing them on paper, you know, we're going to make snow angels. We're going to make up for all the fights.
And it didn't snow. Life is over.
But truly,
not for you, but.
But especially because I noticed in your prep notes that so often we make the mistake of maybe not dealing with things all year long, and then we heap the expectations into the holiday as if that's going to be the solve, the thing that solves it, and it isn't. So how do you identify maybe expectations that you're putting too much weight on this get-together?
Yeah, anytime that we're trying to deal with an expectation, the first step, that you have to have some level of awareness. So either you write them down. That's a great thing to do. Just, I'm hoping, I'm wanting, I expect, blah, 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 to happen with Uncle Fred, with my extended family. You know, I won't get, you know, I'm not going to get yelled at. I'm going to finally, of all these years, be treated like an adult. You know, I mean, whatever.
And they put you at the little kids' table.
Yeah, seriously, I was just thinking that. My daughter, Taylor, finally, this past Thanksgiving, she made it to the adult table. And yet her sister was very bitter anyway. So I think writing it, just how might I become more aware? Sometimes people are, you know, just like to verbally process things. So going out with a friend for coffee or talking to your spouse, just saying, hey, can we just help me think this through? Any of those, what it does is it brings it into the light. And see, when you bring something into the light, then one, God can really help shape the right kind of expectation. Your spouse can, or a good friend can give you a good perspective. I think just you hearing them out loud, you know, when things sound real extreme, that I think that's one of the easiest ways to go, oh, this may not be such a good idea. You know, like for me, finally, you know, family camp, we're all together and this is going to be perfect and la, 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 la. I mean, that sounded pretty extreme. Because I see your eyes, they're rolling.
No, they're not.
So that's one evidence, see, that
but I'm
that
thinking
would be an extreme.
That moment was probably a gift because you have a wife who can speak truth to you and still have your back and love you. But that little blow up then, I think, just probably gave you a realistic reset for the rest of the week, I would imagine.
It really did. And things, you know, for the most part, went smoothly. You know, I think the other thing that happens that throws us off at family gatherings are just the maybe not constant, but the opportunity for multiple negative interactions. I remember one time literally showing up to extended family gatherings. I'm not going to tell you which side of the family this was on. Showed up and kind of hugging everybody. And someone who's a little bit older than me looked at me and went, wow, you've been eating really well this year. I can tell. And kind of patted my tummy.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just standing there going, well, you know,
and how should I take
this? Exactly. I'm like, yes.
Thank
and,
you.
And, you know, and so there's always going to be, and actually this, I don't think there was a mean intent on this person's behalf, but
just no
I'm
filter.
Like, really?
Yeah.
No touchy, you know, my dummy. But, I think those are the kinds of things that are going to happen. And so just to be aware, I mean, I think, one, it would be important, what do we do in those moments that we face and encounter a negative interaction? What do we do?
Well, let's talk about that on the other side of the break. But also I'd like to ask you about how to prepare your heart. Because if you're going in with negative beliefs, you're going in with a high level of offendability. Maybe there's some things you can do on this side before you get there. I'll ask Greg about that, too, next. Man, I have to say, you've been so quiet the last few days. You got to call in and tell us your traditions. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. On your mark, get set, give us a call. We'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Lou Promise, having a great conversation with my friend, Dr. Greg Smalley. We're talking about the holidays, family dynamics, how to show up with a heart that's ready, and how to sort of navigate some of the funky relationships you might encounter this holiday season. Here's the number. We'd love for you to chime in and ask questions or tell us about your Christmas traditions. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. And you were saying before the break that a family member had complimented you on your ability to eat well.
That is such a great reframe. Yes, that's exactly what they were saying.
So what do you do how do you navigate these things? And I was saying beforehand that preparing your heart really might be a wise thing, because if you have a high level of offendability, or if you've got a list already acquired or accumulated against somebody, it wouldn't take much to tip the scales. So how do we do this?
Well, let me take what you just said. I really do think that there is something powerful before you show up. Decide, how do I want to behave? How do I want to show up? How do I want people to experience me? And I tell you two things that stand out to me. A mindset is that every single person in this home, even though some of them might drive me batty, is valuable, is made in the image of God. This is a son, this is a daughter of the Most High. And so let's set that as the baseline. These are valuable people. They might not always act like it. It may be even really hard to tell sometimes. But the truth is, this is a valuable person. The other thing I think is important to decide ahead of time, I get to choose to show up as a servant. I mean, imagine when we show up to a family gathering, if our whole goal is, I want to outserve everybody here. I want to sacrifice. I want to make this about them. I want them to have a great time. Because I part of the ongoing conflict or strife just can be, why did they, you know, Aunt Jill always has to have her way, or cousin, you know, Billy, he does this or that. If we show up to say, I want to treat you in valuable ways, I want to outserve you, that can help us to show up in a different way. And this isn't about being Pollyannish. This isn't about just putting blinders on. This is about choice. Mm-hmm. You cannot change them. There's nothing that you can do. You can set all the boundaries. You can have all the pre-meetings that you want, and things are still going to go off. And therefore, it comes down to how do you want to respond. I think in moments to where there's an interaction, a negative interaction, like the guy that patted my belly and complimented me on my fine dining all year long, I think it's in those. There's a great verse in Ecclesiastes. It's 7:21. I love it. And it says, don't pay attention to every word that someone says.
That's excellent.
Literally, that should be one that we write on our arm.
Yeah.
And we just stare at it. Because I think in those, it'd be easy to go and pout. It'd be easy to react. It'd be easy to point out, well, you know, look at your face, you know, what happened to it, or so, I don't know, whatever we might say.
We could do a show of good comebacks, but that would be
right. That's right. If anybody would have had a good comeback for me, call in.
My dad used to always say, you like that, or is that what they're wearing? My dad.
Is that really what
yes,
you're wearing?
He did. You
or
like
did
that, or is that what
just
they're wearing?
Throw up or whatever.
Anyway, back on track. But
so
know,
I think, I, yeah. yeah. So that don't pay attention to every word someone says. Again, it comes back to, wow, I get to make a choice.
Indeed. 877-933-2484. I'm ready to like throw a fit and stomp my fists because I haven't heard from you guys in like 3 days. Now I understand you're busy shopping, but put this on speed dial and give me a call, right? That was really bossy of me, but Greg put me up to it. 877.
I grabbed the phone to call you.
933.
I thought you were talking to me.
2484. Michelle is calling in. I'm glad to hear from Michelle calling in. She's got a family tradition to share. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi. I don't want you to throw a fit, but no, so here I am.
Thank you.
Thank you from
me.
All of us.
Yeah. So my thing is, we do have little family traditions, but it's back to the expectations. You know, we put on ourselves all these expectations to have these traditions and these things that are going to be great memories, and you have to add that into all the shopping and the, you know, buying and the parties and everything, and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't think of a tradition too and make it huge and memorable, and can't it be just enough that we celebrate Christmas?
Yes.
Yay.
It definitely can. And doesn't it have to just be something that either you're inspired to do and you look forward to? Because I think if you start to serve it, it feels like that, Michelle, doesn't it? Where it's just like another thing
another
I have to do.
Thing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to not make it like that, because I have friends who do these wonderful, amazing traditions, and you're just going, oh, I wish I'd do that. And then you do it, and it just doesn't quite work for your family, you know,
exactly.
Because it's not you. It's you trying to do their tradition. And my one tradition is I put a toothbrush in their stocking. Whoopee! One of those thin brushes, you know?
I promise you, Michelle, if you were to not do that 1 year, they would miss it.
Yeah, they probably would.
See, Michelle just gave me a great Christmas stocking stuffer idea.
Greg hasn't shopped yet.
Toothbrush.
He's going to the CVS pharmacy right now.
Everybody's going to steal that one now.
Exactly.
I know.
Oh, I love it, Michelle. Thank you so much. And somehow we're going to get you a small ebook, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Bless you, dear. God bless you. 877-933-2484. I see a couple calls coming in. See, it does pay to throw a hissy fit sometimes.
It does. I'm sad to say that we are reinforcing your negative behavior.
I know,
behavior,
it's terrible.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, I'm not your dad, so I don't have to worry about you.
Well,
or Kevin, I'm not your husband either.
I'm a handful. I can be a handful. So let's talk about preparing your heart. I've been thinking a lot about this just because if you're going in with this list or going in with expectations as if you have no responsibility, that's a problem. But I'm thinking of your verse that you started with. It seems really wise to just spend some time by the tree with your Bible and a journal and just say, Lord, who should I be praying for right now that I've already got a negative belief about? Who do I need to forgive? Who do I need to actually reach out to that I normally miss? I mean, if we kind of prepare our hearts, we can sort of go on mission versus on defense. What do you say?
I love it. We had a family gathering not too long ago. It was much less a family gathering, just was some family came in, as my dad has been going through some health problems. And one of my family members pulled me aside, and I was kind of nervous, like, well, am I in trouble? And said, I was thinking about something that happened, maybe 6 months ago. And the more I thought about it, the more I prayed about it, I just wanted to seek your forgiveness.
Wow.
And my jaw dropped. And I thought, wait, what? And it was one of those things that I don't even really remember what he was talking about. But the fact that he valued me enough to say, you know what, in that we are going to be together for a little while, boy, I wanted to do this. It reminds me in many ways of the Matthew 5:23-24 where he's talking about, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and then you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift and then go and first be reconciled to your brother. And I like that. And that's, I think, a part of preparation that you talked about. God, is there anything maybe that I've done that I need to seek forgiveness? Or maybe someone has done something that I'm able to let go. I'm able to release.
And
I'm
build
able
a bridge.
To seek them out. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That could be their Christmas miracle. Truly. 877.
A Festivus miracle right
yes.
there.
933-2484. Vicky's calling in from Bloomington. And not because I twisted her arm, right, Vicky?
No, not at all. Not at all.
You're so nice.
All the people with such sweet personalities are calling in now.
It's a sympathy call. I know it. Anyway, what do you have a tradition to share with us?
Well, many years ago when we had small children at home, Christmas was very, very stressful, and my husband really had the wisdom to say, we are going to go through our Christmas preparation, and we are going to delete anything that does not help us worship the newborn king.
Wow.
So gift giving, scratch it off. We wait until January 6th when we can take advantage of Christmas sales. We don't have the pressure. And the kids, they were okay. We did stocking stuffers, which we each filled for each other with very small things. And we had Advent calendar, we had Advent devotion. That certainly honored the king. And we got out nativities, and we talked about where they came from and the different nationalities and how they too need Jesus. And we talked about anything that glorified Jesus and helped us worship the king, we kept. We didn't do Christmas letters until, again, January 6th. We got them out after Christmas. But if it didn't help us worship the king, it was off the list.
And how'd that work for you, Vicki?
It worked really well. It was very, very freeing. And my daughter came home from school one day after Christmas, and she goes, Mom, do you know that some kids actually get $500 worth of presents? And I thought, oh, shoot, busted. And I said, well, yes, actually, I did know that. And she goes, what a waste.
Wow.
What a waste. And it was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, you know? It has really been interesting to see how they have parented their children and how many of the traditions they keep. They really pare down. And
wow.
It made me feel very, very good, like it was a worthwhile thing.
Vicki, thank you so much for calling. And that really goes to show, Greg, it really is so individual for each family. If things bog you down to the point where they stress you out, it's not worth it. We're going to grab a call here from Becky. We've got, surprisingly, Greg, we have a whole bunch of calls coming in.
I don't know how
say
that happened.
A word. Okay, Becky's calling from North Dakota. Becky, welcome. You called on your own free will, didn't you?
I did. Well, I had a little encouragement from you.
Okay, that's true.
A little angel.
Well, my comment is that the stressful stuff with family, I have two things that I try to run through my head when I'm going to the stressful family side. And one is I'm going to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. I just say that to myself over and over. And then the other one, and I don't even know the whole Bible verse, but it's from Psalms, and it's in the 90s, and it starts out, and, you know, it's praising God, but then it says, I will not be greatly shaken. And then and a couple of verses later, it says, I will not be shaken. Mm. And I always thought that was kind of funny, because first they weren't going to be greatly shaken, and then in the end, they weren't going to be shaken at all.
We'll lower the bar down.
Just a little bit.
Won't be shaken.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
so
that.
Those are my tips.
Oh, Becky, that's just excellent. I think that was probably for somebody. They needed to hear that. Thank you. You're going to get a Smalley book one way or another. We're going to twist Greg's arm this time. I don't think we'll have to twist too much. You're pretty generous.
I'm going to be like Vicky, and I'm not giving out anything.
We're going to get you a book, Becky. Thank you so much. Okay, so here someone else called in and said, I said something to an in-law years ago that I'm still cringing over. I was trying to relate to her, and I was very pregnant at the time. I said to her, hey, we're the same, and she's never really forgiven me.
Oh,
I'm sorry about that. It was, because this particular in-law had gained some weight. God bless you. Oh, that's so hard. My goodness. When I was pregnant walking out of church one day, a woman told me I had gotten as big as a house. I wasn't quite sure how to take that one either. I'm like, like a condo, a townhome, or a high rise?
Call me a duplex.
Okay. I think we can snatch one more call here before we go. Becky's calling in from Howard Lake. Becky, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling out of my desperation.
Yes, I am responding to your desperation.
Thank you so much. That
You're
was
very
shameless.
Kind. It's
but
Susie's
thanks.
Gift. Yes. There you go.
It is my birthday tomorrow. So anyway, what's your
Happy
tradition?
Birthday.
Thank you. What's your tradition?
Well, for the past 4 years, our kids and I have worked at the Operation Christmas Child Processing Center. And that has just been a huge blessing because as we inspect these gifts and prepare them for shipment, it reminds us that many of these kids, this is the only gift they're ever getting. And it takes the focus off what we're expecting for Christmas and really helps us focus on what we're giving to these kids during this time. And we walk away so refreshed. And it really has become part of our tradition for Christmas now.
Wow, that's beautiful. Greg, did you want to say anything to Becky? What a great thing.
I love that. I mean, I think any of these traditions that we do, that there's a unique way, Susie, that this actually can bond family, even extended family. I'd love to talk about how using family traditions when we get together with everybody can actually help bring us together.
Oh, exciting. Boy, having a good conversation. And I just want to give you each a hug for responding to my hissy fit. It was so nice of you. You didn't have to, but you did, right? I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Dr. Greg Smalley about family dynamics, Christmas traditions. There's still time to call in. We'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Notice I'm very calm. I'm not throwing a fit at all. I'm just inviting you. Just isn't that nice? Aren't you impressed?
Very soothing.
It's very soothing.
It's inauthentic, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be right back. A great conversation with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I miss being on the air with Greg. We get to have him on a couple times a year. Talking right now about family dynamics and traditions and the holidays. We have time, I think, to take a couple more calls. 877-933-2484. Katarina's calling in from Canada with a tradition. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Really quickly, we go through all the blessings that we've received through the year. And I can tell you, this is a phenomenal year for us because we've had so many of those times where we've had to walk through with, you know, believing in Jesus and looking upwards, that the astounding victories that have happened this year, even my young boys are saying, wow, it's true. So, you know, like, for example, football. We won what you guys would consider state championships.
Nice.
With an undefeated record. Each day,
wow.
Each practice, they would pray that they would be godlike in how they present themselves on the field. Each game, they knelt and thanked God for their victory and showing the glory of God. And when they won, it was like, wow. You know, it provided such a good example. So each year, we on Christmas Eve go through everything that we trusted in the Lord, how He came, how He showed us that He is faithful, how He shocked us with His blessing. Mm. And it's been an amazing year. This is the first year, first solid years that we looked upwards and said, yes, Lord. And, you know, He has been so gracious to us.
Oh, Katerina, I'm so happy. What a beautiful testament. I know you've called in years past when you're walking through the valley, and I've just heard you put your flag in the ground and say, I don't see it yet, but I will see His faithfulness. And for you to stand here and testify is such a great, just a great testimony for somebody who's still waiting. So bless you for that call. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Greg, we have time to take one more. Dean is also calling in from Canada, from Winnipeg. I'm going to be speaking there in the next month or so, I think. Dean, welcome.
Hey there. Hi, Susie. Hi, Greg.
Good to talk with you.
Yeah, good to hear you guys. Hey, I got a great little story here. You know, about 10 years ago, I married a great gal from Winnipeg, coming out of Bible college. And my mother-in-law, every year gets the grandkids together before we open presents, takes them, to one of the old closets, and they put on costumes and as best they can transform the grandkids into Sheep and Mary and Joseph. Mm-hmm. And now I have three kids of my own, a six-year-old daughter, and my son is 3 and 1. And so my son's the youngest, and he's, baby Jesus, and they try and get him to stay in the, in the ottoman that they've taken the cover off of, and it's adorable and just so much fun. And the oldest there, Cassidy, she narrates and the kids act it out, and it's just this, everyone brings the cameras out and we film it every year and just it's a lot of fun. And so I've always appreciated my mother-in-law doing that and in a fun, creative way, bringing the focus on Christ before we open presents. So.
Boy, that is priceless. I can see Greg going, I want to be Joseph.
Dean, I'm going to put on that big full-size kitty costume I have. I'm going to be one of the animals.
Dean, that is beautiful. Wow, give your mother-in-law a hug for us. That's amazing. Thanks for sharing.
Is. No problem. Merry Christmas.
You too. We're going to get you a book, a smally book, most likely. So, Greg, you actually wanted to talk about how these certain traditions can really knit our hearts together. Talk about that.
I do. Well, it's easy to think about traditions when it's just our immediate family. So Aaron and me, the kids, what do we do? But I tell you, there's something powerful when families get together and we utilize or employ and do some of the past traditions maybe that we used to do when it was just us, and now we have this full extended family. Because what traditions can do, so let's say that there's been some, some frustrations, some problems, maybe some conflict with different family members. I tell you what, bring back one of these traditions that people remember from the past. One, it reminds them of better times. But it's also a part, an extended family also needs an identity, is a collective group. So now you've got these different families who are represented. There's nothing wrong with a group identity. And so coming up with maybe a new tradition or using something from the past, one of the things that I did growing up with my family is we did fondue, or we kind of do the meat on the big fork and put it in the oil. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the first times we tried doing that, my brother is trying to force like five pieces of meat onto the fork.
Oh, I can see.
And he's pushed with all his might. Oh, and it goes right through his hand.
Oh, my goodness.
Right through his hand. Well, the whole table erupts and, I'm throwing up. And, it was awful. But I tell you what, literally became the tradition for our family not to have him
stab his hand,
skewer himself, impale himself. But it became we did fondue growing up, and that's what my family does. We do that on Christmas Eve, and when we get together though, as an extended family, we do that together. And it just there's a way in which it can bring people together. Maybe it can help settle them in. It pulls up some identity kind of stuff. It's a great way to bring. So maybe create a new one. A big game extravaganza for the whole family, or you're gonna go Christmas caroling, or go look at lights, or whatever. But when Katarina, when she called in, she was talking about really focusing on the blessings. One of my very favorite verses, so this time of year, is to really look at Luke 2:19, and it says, "But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often." So now picture this is now the birth has happened, all the wise men have come, the angels, the shepherd, everybody's visited, sort of at the very tail end of Luke's rendition of the Christmas story. So think about that. So it's almost like you can see kind of Mary taking a moment of going, big exhaling, and her just kind of maybe leaning back. But she kept all these things in her heart, and she thought about them often. In other words, one of the best things I think that we can do in the midst of all the craziness and the busyness and going to see extended family are to be intentional to take moments that we kind of just settle in, maybe sit down somewhere and not say anything, but just watch.
Love
notice.
That.
What's going on? Because what she did, she thought about these things, but she thought about it in a way that allowed it to penetrate and sink into her heart. And so for some of you, you've had hard times with certain family members. And maybe a part of what's going to soften your heart, maybe just a little bit, is maybe to watch. Maybe there's a way in which that family member will interact with someone. Maybe you see it's how they interact with their child or your child or something. I don't know, but there's a way in which just to take moments to reflect on, wow, this is cool. I get to be around all these people, even though they drive me nuts. They're all here. And someday that's not going to be true.
Exactly. And we don't know what that someday is. And like you'd said earlier that each of these people are made in God's image. So maybe when you're sitting back and pondering these things, which I love that idea, but to ask God, let me see your image in this person. This person maybe I have a history with that's partially negative. Remind me of the good days and let me see your imprint on them. And maybe, I think God loves to answer those kinds of prayers. And wow, that's excellent. We just have a moment before I ask you to pray, but I'd love for you to speak to the person who maybe is apart from their family right now. And you've been always so honest about the different seasons of your family's life, your extended family, which I've so appreciated. But what I've heard from you, even in hard times where you pulled out of the family business for a while, the intent was always to preserve the relationship, not just to cut people out, right? And so just say a word to that person maybe who's heartbroken right now because they're temporarily disconnected. They don't see any other way around it. Maybe how they can keep perspective.
Yeah, maybe even a part of their own sanities. They've had to set a boundary, not show up. I think the thing that we're called to do is to love. Men will know you're my disciples by the way you love one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others. To me, the goal is always the evidence that Christ makes a difference in our life is how we're able to love. And how we're able to love doesn't mean that we're going to be next to someone, that we're going to be in the same room as them, but it means that our hearts are open. It means that we're allowing our maybe damaged heart, cold, hardened heart just to open a little bit, just to see what God may do. Maybe it leads us to praying for that person, or maybe to write a note of encouragement or phone call or whatever. So I think make it your goal that you don't exist in a world where your heart is hardened. That's not what God wants for you, and that's certainly not how we want to live life. So maybe that's the gift that you give, is maybe your heart softens or your heart starts to open towards that other person. I think
Beautiful.
That's ultimately what we're called to do.
That's so good, Greg. Well, would you pray for that person listening who's right in that place?
Lord, it's it's no lie that there are many terrible things that happen within families, Lord, ways that we're disappointed and hurt and frustrated, God. And it's easy for our heart to become hardened. So, Lord, I pray that for those who have a hardened heart towards a family member, Lord, just in whatever way, create a crack in that heart. Allow their heart to begin to open, God, because, again, we never know how you want to love through us, how you might use us in that other person's life, and we take ourselves out if our hearts are closed or hardened. So, Lord, just help us to have a softened heart this year towards our family, and we'll just trust that you'll do that in the ways that, however you might do that. We, Lord, thank you in advance for that, and we ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Doc, thanks for joining us. It's always a delight to talk with you. Appreciate you very much.
And I'll be calling in every day.
Okay, you better. Don't make me come down there.
Exactly, I get it.
All right, then. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of the program today on our website, myfaithradio.com. The great giveaway is tomorrow. Get ready to call in again.